This is a replay of the Thursday night, April 17th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number for OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. A lot of things on mine, actually. And, oh, man, we'll get to some of those. But your calls as well. When we last ended the show last night, we were talking about the Ray-Ban Meta glasses, and we will again. But before we get to Jim in Richmond, Chuck is a first-time caller, and he's got a request. So you know who goes to the head of the line. All right, Chuck, welcome to WGN Radio. Chuck. Are you with me? Well, I guess we lost Chuck already. He wanted to hear The Impressions, but I don't know what song by The Impressions, and there's so many good ones. So maybe Chuck will call back. In the meantime, as I say, we will get to Jim. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I just wanted to tell you that I started the day out, and my eyes were better. And
good.
Then as the day went on, they went back.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that they always say the brain in 3 days, so I'm hoping it'll be better tomorrow.
Good.
And I wanted to let you know that I called Humana, and what a rigmarole, you know, answering all these. You can go to this department.
Oh,
you know, this
I
department.
Know. The voicemail and menus are driving everyone crazy. I don't blame
right.
you for the frustration.
And then I finally screamed, speak to a representative.
Yeah, right. Agent. Yeah, I can't tell you how much
right.
I've yelled that.
Right. Yeah. And then I ended up with, another countryman.
Right.
And not from
Yeah,
my
not
country.
Not from this country. Yes, I understand.
Right. And then I wanted a printout of my benefits.
Uh-huh.
And he was going, well, what can I help you with? I said, I just want a printout of all my benefits. So he kept nudging. And they want me to get my prescriptions mailed. So finally I told them, my prescriptions are refrigerated. You can't mail them to me, just to get them off the phone.
Right.
And then he's going to mail me out because I want to find out about this meals program that I'm supposed to be signed up for.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't get the over-the-counter medicine anymore,
uh-huh.
like vitamins and stuff.
Yeah.
So it'll be 7 to 14 days.
I'll be curious what you get. Now, since we were discussing the Ray-Ban Meta glasses last night, I did some checking around. And firstly, I firmly agree with Fran that you shouldn't even think about anything like this until you're absolutely proficient with voiceover. So what I did was I went online to see what we could do to get you proficient with voiceover. Talk about mm-hmm. an exercise in frustration. Because the first thing they said mm-hmm. do is go to settings, then accessibility. I'm like, how are you supposed to see this? You know, so
mm-hmm.
so what you're going to need, and by the way, there's also a number of entities like Perkins School for the Blind and all that have a ton of great videos on this. But again, you're in a position where you need somebody who can see to set all this up for you. And
right.
That's what you need to find. But I think you should probably make it your primary goal to be very familiar with voiceover and to find a way somebody can help you. And I'd call every agency I could and any Council of the Blind I could find and say, I can't do this on my own because I can't see it. And even if somebody were walking you through it on the phone, I don't know that that's possible. But you need to have this to be able to move forward.
Right. When I called Best Buy, I called them today, and you talk about a rigmarole.
Yeah, but they're not in a position to help you. Jim, trust
right.
me. They even if they wanted to, they don't know how to help you. So calling Best Buy does no good.
Right. But they told me that I could come in, and they will give me a demonstration where I can look through the glasses to see if that's what I want.
Well, if they will, here's the thing to ask them then. If I do, will you set up my phone and show me how to use VoiceOver? And if they will, then that's great.
Right. And they said that, I said, she was rattling all this stuff off, and I couldn't understand half the things she was saying because she had a different, distinctive voice.
Right.
And then... But it was a rigmarole just to get someone to talk
yes.
to me on the phone.
Yes, it is. But if you could go in and if you could find somebody who had the knowledge to set up VoiceOver to you for you, that would be worth it. But you're not going to be able to use any of these devices until you first are very proficient with VoiceOver and very comfortable with it.
Right. And then she said it will go through your phone and stuff like that because...
And
I
then,
said, I don't have a computer.
Right, and then you say, will you set up my phone?
Well, I didn't get to that point, but I said, I want to be able to go outside and walk where I can see the ground and I don't step in a hole. She, oh, yeah, this will do that and this will do that. I says, I want to be able to read my mail. And then she goes, yeah, they could read the mail to you.
Right,
and that's
but what
you're saying, VoiceOver.
Well, what I'm saying is that until you have the phone set up so that all of the basic VoiceOver capabilities are known to you and comfortable to you, none of those things will happen. That she said, none of them.
Right.
So the most, I know VoiceOver has. Best Buy has. Their Geek Squad, so to speak. And I would make it that I will not buy anything, these glasses or anything else, until somebody can show me, can set it up, and show me how to use it.
Right. So, and that's why I said come in for a demonstration.
Right. Right. But
and
demonstration.
Right now, my phone is set up where all I have to do is say, read the page. Or all I have to say is read my email, or I have to read the messages, and they do that.
All right, so you're...
I don't know if that's VoiceOver
well,
or not.
Well, you might be partially there, and that's good. But, they can give you a demonstration, but it will be an exercise in frustration to you if you're not very proficient with VoiceOver first.
Right. And then you said something that Fran may have a link. And I'm, was waiting.
Well, but when I talk with Fran, like I say, she is the one who actually started me on the road to realize that this is premature until you have mastered VoiceOver completely.
Right.
So that's the goal.
Finally, the cost was $329.
Yeah, but it'll be $329 thrown out if you're not very proficient with VoiceOver.
Right, and that's why I said once I get there.
Well, we don't yet care about the glasses or anything else. All we care about is getting you to be proficient with VoiceOver.
Right, and remember, I went to Apple and to the genius people at Apple, and they couldn't get it to work.
Because they're not going to be proficient in accessibility. That's why, you mentioned Best Buy. If they're trying to sell these glasses, maybe they have somebody who is. But as I say, even the National Federation for the Blind has the Sighted Guide to VoiceOver and the Blind Guide to VoiceOver and all of that stuff. But again, if you don't have somebody, in your case, holding your hand and setting it up, I don't see how you're going to get there.
Right. I agree with you.
So
but I'm doing the steps.
Well, that's.
I want you to know I'm doing this.
Well, that okay. So nothing else. If it were me, if I was in your position, nothing else would matter to me in life except mastering VoiceOver. This would be more important to me than eating, sleeping, or doing anything else. I would put this number one with a bullet on my list.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. All right.
That's my next.
So there
project.
You go. Okay. All right.
Okay. And
good deal.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And I'll wait to hear your choice of music tonight.
You will. I'm going to play some requests, and I've also got some stuff that I really like. So we'll get there.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. It's making it a priority, and no one likes a learning curve. You know, I'm here to tell you I am the worst at that. I will delay doing something. I had to set up another NVR this week, and bottom line is I delayed that for half of forever because I knew it was a learning curve. It turned out it was just basic, simple, stupid for me. But, you know, I waited for it because I was like, I don't know, that kind of stuff. And there were a few things like that that I had to do this week. And it was sort of like, well, why did I put it off? This was really easy. But I understand completely when you say, not today, I'm not in the learning curve mood. But I get that. But on something like this, it's just too important. So we'll get to Kevin in Colorado Springs. He's got some comments about voiceover. We've got our first bumper request, some lingering ones from earlier in the week, and we'll get to them and more coming up on WGN Radio.
One summer night, we fell in love. One summer night, I held you tight, you and I, under the moon of love. One summer night, I kissed your lips. One summer night,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The Dan Lears and Sergeant Pappy. That was his final of the four-pack from last night or the night before. One Summer Night, 1958 on Mercury. And it was Chuck from Milwaukee who called back with the request, the impressions request. And he says to John, well, I won't talk on the radio, but I want to tell you what it is. No, don't bother. All right, here's the deal. It's not listen radio. It is talk radio. If you want a request, you're going to have to get on the air and ask for it, and we're going to talk. If not, well, find it online. I'm sure it's there. All right, so the other thing is reminds me of this. There are some people who think that texting is a good idea. I wouldn't know because that feature is fully disabled. So if you text 888-876-5593, you won't know it. But that text is going absolutely nowhere. You can email, but I'm not going to have discourse by email. But if there's something that specifically that you need to know about the show or something like that, you can email Raleigh@Raleigh.net. And I'll try to answer. No guarantees on that. But your best bet, no matter what it is, call the show. 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. It's just the phone. I can't come and eat you. All right, so the bottom line is you will not be hurt by getting on the radio, and no one will hear it but me. All right, if you believe that, I've got other things to sell you. Kevin in Colorado Springs, welcome to WGN Radio.
I like that. Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
the person who is learning his iPhone, yeah. Is that what he has, is an iPhone?
Yeah, he does. Exactly. He does have an iPhone, and he is just not able to do this without help. We've talked about this for months.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have to find someone to go into his phone and turn on VoiceOver. And from that point, teach him the gestures and everything that goes along with it when you're looking for something.
I think that someone did turn it on. But unfortunately, yeah, I know, and that's wonderful. But from our phone calls and all that, I can see that he hasn't become any more proficient with it. So part of it's on him learning to use it and using it regularly until it's second nature to you. But I also think he probably needs a little more hand-holding with somebody who can actually see the darn phone.
Yeah, I think so, too. But yeah, I remember when I got VoiceOver, and I just took it baby steps one day at a time, and now I do very well with it.
Oh, yeah, and you can probably attest to what a game-changer it is.
Oh, absolutely. It's wonderful to be able to use your iPhone and do anything you want, look at mail, look at apps, and download stuff. I mean, it's great.
Right.
Once you, you know, but I had to have help.
Yeah.
I got, you know, when I got a phone, too.
Right, absolutely. And then once you have that help, the impetus is on you to be able to use it every day. And you've got to do that until it becomes second nature. Because if someone shows you and then you say, okay, I'll look at that next week, you will have forgotten. You have you've got to go home in that moment, start with it, and be unrelenting. Because I know even things that I have done, and why am I, and see, I have water, but it's not helping. Let's try again. All right. Even things that I have done, you know, as far as coding, and I'll go through the process of learning what I need and all that kind of stuff, and I'll write the code. Man, if I haven't looked at that in 2 months, it's like I got to look at it again for the first time. So bottom line, the older we get, we have to use these skills every day.
Coke in the freezer?
No Coke in the freezer. I'm going to do something else during the news here. But thank you. Yeah, John knows I have to have my Cokes to the point where they're just forming ice crystals or I won't drink them. But anyway, thank you for that. All right, so we'll figure something else out. We'll hear the news. And Kevin, thank you for calling. I promise you, your Jive 5, My True Story is coming up tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'll listen for it.
Good
thanks,
deal.
Charlie.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
You're mine.
Oh, yes, you're mine.
Now it can be told. Why our love was secret
before.
So secret before. You're mine.
Say you love.
Oh, yes, yes, you're mine.
I love.
And we'll always be.
You're the only one for me.
Something dear to me. I wandered around in a daze, not knowing just what to do. When all at once the moon came out
and you came in to view.
Yes, you're mine.
Our love was young.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, that's a record I really love. So we'll say that Jim sent that to me. That's the Crickets. In fact, later when Buddy Holly had his group, these Crickets, who were around in 1950, sued him. And I think his death ended that. But they were the originals, the Crickets. And in 1953 on MGM, they did Your Mind. Now, I would not normally have thought of this record as a favorite, though it is. And everybody's done it. I think my favorite version is The Swallows, but I don't have it on this computer. But the Crickets were the original. But interestingly, there was a very interesting Vibrations version that I'll play a little bit of here in a moment. But this is the song that I had a listener who sent me an email. And yeah, this is dangerous. I read the email, right? And he said, I've got this version of Your Mind, and I don't know who did it. All right. And so I've been going crazy ever since then because it could be Several groups come to mind. None of them been right so far because I've been trying to research it, but I can't figure it out. So if Sergeant Pappy or if Jimmy P is listening, I'd like you to weigh in on who is doing this version of Your Mine. I think you're going to find it very familiar, but I can't figure it out. Not off the top of my head. Now, the problem, and you're probably ahead of me on this, is I'm not sure this is recorded, that this is vinyl or shellac as far as that goes. The reason I say that is, again, this is a standard in concert. Everybody does it. And so when I'm listening to the quality of that, I'm thinking, wow, that could just be from some appearance. And then, of course, we're never going to get it. And so, but I'm curious. Like I say, the Swallows had, well, just the absolute best. But there was one I had found online by them a while ago, of them doing Your Mine, and it was just forever. It was just great. Now, of course, I'll never find it again, right? Yeah, that's right. I'll never find it again. All right, well, be that as it may. While I'm looking, because now it'll be somewhat of a quest. Let's hear a little bit of the Vibrations version of it, and yeah, Chicago style. But as I say, I don't think they'll hold a candle to the Crickets, let alone the Swallows.
You're the only one for me.
You're mine. Why I love so secret.
So, as I say, the Vibrations did a very nice version of it, but it just doesn't hold. I wish I could find the Swallows. I was pretty sure that it was online, and yeah, right, maybe not. And well, one of the problems is some groups called it Now It Can Be Told, but it's not. It's I'm gonna try again for the Swallows. It's Your Mine is the title, and the guy who was the lead singer for the Crickets put it out himself in 1959, and that wasn't it either. But come on, the Swallows did such an... Maybe it's no longer online, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it here in the past. All right, so... well, there's the Crickets doing it. No, well, we played the Crickets, but yeah, this is just terrible. All right, well, enough of that. I'll find it eventually, and... We'll see, and then you'll weigh in. But if you know who that was doing it, I'm pretty sure it was one of those deals where it was in concert and not released. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I have here, because the one question I get often, when is the next new moon? And so I'll tell you, it's coming up Sunday, April 27th. So that is a week from Sunday. And Central Time, that's 2:31. So if you're interested in writing your prosperity checks, not real checks, no money changes hands, but if you're into that particular exercise, you will want to do that April 27th at 2:31 Central. All right, or right before. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. I will take the next few minutes to hopefully find the Swallows, and I'll play it for you if I do, coming up on WGN Radio.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone to watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost in the wood. Oh, I know I could always be good to one who watch over me. tell him to put on some speed. I love my little, how I need someone who watch over me. Someone to watch over me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I told Ruth and Gurney that I would play a country version of Someone to Watch Over Me, and Becky Hobbs did it. 1977 on Tattoo Records. And yeah, she had a pretty long career, although I will say that Someone to Watch Over Me did not chart at all. And I think she, you know, she's a mid-charter all the way around. Probably her biggest thing was Jones on the Jukebox, and that got to the 30s and the mid-80s. But I always thought she was a pretty good. She did some stuff with Mo Bandy as well. So that is the deal there. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. I have not succeeded in the Swallows in-person, in-concert version of Your Mind. And, you know, in these events, obviously they're going to do their hits, like It Ain't the Meat, It's the Mo. And Will You Be Mine, which was before that also in 1951 on King, or Since You've Been Away, or any of that. But no, there was one, and it probably was one of those things on UGHA, United Group Harmony, back when that was still around, when Ronnie I was alive and did all those concerts in North Jersey. It was probably on one of those bills, and they just did a swell rendition of Your Mind. And I thought I had seen it online, but I don't think I did. Oh, wait, Sergeant Pappy says he might know the version, because the version that we're thinking of, John and I came to the conclusion that it probably came from a concert, you know, something, an in-person thing. It just didn't sound like it was recorded. But Sergeant Pappy maybe thinks differently, and I'm looking forward to that. All right, so Sergeant Pappy, welcome back to WGN Radio. Okay, who is it?
I think it's from 1953 by the Crickets.
Yeah, no, I know. That's not the Crickets, though. See, this is what I'm saying. Okay, I played the Crickets version, which I love, and I played that, one of my favorite songs. Jim said, play one of my favorite songs, so I did. And I also played, you know, the Vibrations did it. And, of course, the lead singer of the Crickets redid it in 1959. And then what I was looking for, the Swallows had an in-person appearance where they did it. It didn't sound like this. But when I heard this group doing it, and I'll play it again, I pretty much come to the conclusion that this was one of those live deals.
Live,
you know? Yeah. And so it was Harvey wrote to me and said, do you know who this is? And I don't. So... See, we know that that's not the, right, because...
That doesn't sound nothing like the...
Of course not. You know. And I even have, because later the Crickets got together and they were doing a lot of it on, you know, on a cavalcade of appearances. Like, well, I've got one from 1992 where you can hear and you say, yeah, it's the Crickets. And it was nice, too, actually.
Yeah, the Crickets one is a really nice, nice song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
This is a tune that, this is the tune that originally brought me to Pittsburgh. I'm not going to say how many years that was, but you guys down here, you know exactly when it was. So we want to go into that. But it's a tune that I recorded twice. A different label. One more time. You're mine. Now it can be told.
Yeah, it's the way it's supposed to sound. So I just love that. Like I say, he was still in voice in the 90s.
I've been going through my phone and I've been calling a couple of record shops around here and stuff and everything, and I've been no idea.
No.
Other than the Crickets,
right.
Most of them come up with 1953, the Crickets. You know, that's right. The one that they say. You know,
right,
and,
on,
you
know. On MGM, of course. Or
right,
that 1959 when he did it as a solo.
Yeah, the solo, right.
Yeah, but it's neither of those. And like I say, I know I've heard the Swallows do it in concert, which, you know, they were just the best. And so, you know, that was great. But it's not the Swallows either. It doesn't even sound like them. But it does sound like a cavalcade of, you know, guys that you'd hear on stage at doo-wop concerts, but I just can't figure out who. And of course, who knows? Maybe Harvey does know, and he sent us a tape of somebody who otherwise has never been heard before. You know, I don't know. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to conclude it with some live appearance, and we have no idea who it is.
All right. Can I give you
more? Songs. Yes. To quote Andrea True, more. Okay. What do you got?
For next week, Darling Goodbye by Cliff Noble.
Oh, wow, okay. What else?
Let's see, what else I want here? Dry Your Eyes by the Dell.
Oh, yes. Okay, what else?
Deep in My Heart by the Shells.
Oh, okay.
And what's that, three or four?
That's three.
I don't want to give you no more than four.
Oh, give me four. Give me a fourth.
How about Bing Bong by the Silhouettes?
Okay, absolutely. Let me write this down.
All right.
All right, you got them all.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks.
You take care.
Appreciate
it.
All right, so 888-876-5593. So we'll never know who did that version of Your Mind. Yeah, a pox on you, Harvey, for sending that to us. But it did get me to hear the Crickets, which I love. And I know I've heard the Swallow. I can't find it. All right, so Anita in Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi. Can you give me a second to turn down my radio?
Oh, sure, go right ahead.
Assuming
it's not across the street.
I wanted to listen to you.
Yeah.
I wanted to listen to you while I was waiting.
Okay.
Okay. I did find a website for you to find that song by the Swallow.
Well, yeah. Okay. What's the website?
It's called oldies.com.
Oh, yeah. Oldies.com. That was Jerry Green's old stuff. It used to be collectibles. You won't find it there.
Yeah. Oh, I did.
You did? Now, wait a minute. No.
I typed into their thing. It says, Your Mind, the Swallow.
And what came up?
It says, 12 results, Your Mind, the Swallow.
No. Wait a minute. Are you sure? Because the thing on oldies.com is usually, Will You Be Mine?
Hmm.
See, that was their big hit, Will You Be Mine? So when I go there...
Yeah, I saw that, too, but this one said...
I'm looking.
Okay, no, it didn't... Yeah.
Yeah, no...
Well, when I clicked that, it didn't come up,
No. And when you do Swallows Your Mind, you get all those, like, super rare-to-find doo-wop gems, and you look at it, and it's certainly not on there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they have Trust Me by the Swallows on that particular deal, but I don't think... they ever recorded it. Again, that was such an early doo-wop classic.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that is the truth. And John says, I just ran out of time. I'm so sorry, Anita. Call me again soon.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay, thanks.
Fine, okay?
Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, so I think something like the news or commercials or something are coming up on WGN Radio.
They must cry.
I'm Raleigh James. That's for Kevin in Colorado Springs, the Jive 5, My True Story on Beltone. Yeah, man. Eugene Pitt, just the best voice. And as I mentioned, whenever he was in concert, he sounded exactly like he did on the records. Just tremendous. All right, so 888-876-5593. Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio. Ruth. Okay, going once, going twice, goodbye. Ruth. All right, so she can call back if she likes, and I hope she will. Karen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I was calling about that arrangement of someone to watch over me.
Oh, Becky Hobbs,
yeah. I think that's the worst thing I can't believe.
I thought it was great.
Someone would do that.
Oh, well.
When I was growing up, my father was a musician, and he taught me so many things. We used to have jam sessions, and I would play either organ or accordion, and he would play either organ or piano, depending on what. And that was one of our favorite songs, but it sure didn't sound like that.
Well, there you go. What can I tell you?
That is
my absolutely favorite version of that song.
Is it really?
Absolutely. Yeah, you betcha. And it starts off, by the way, I edited it. It starts off where she's very slow and traditional with it. I don't want to hear that crap. I get into when the structure changes. That's where I start it.
Oh, okay. I don't normally like songs like that, but then I think part of it is memories, too.
Yeah.
But, wow, I couldn't believe
Well, there you go.
I had to call you.
Well, and very good. That's what makes it fun because, you know, we all agree that our favorite songs are the ones that take us where we want to go, but we all disagree on what those songs are.
Yeah, it's incredible. And there are so many songs out there.
Yeah, you betcha. And like I say, I never heard a version of this I liked until hers came out. I said, yeah, I like that. All right, so that was it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had never heard it before, and I was totally taken aback.
Well, that's obviously a classic. Everybody and their brother has done it. Hundreds of versions. Right. And
all kinds of different ways.
Yeah, that's right. And it was never one I wanted to hear. And she came out, and I said, I like that. And so that was the deal. So, yeah.
Was that Dolly Parton?
No, it's Becky Hobbs. It was Becky Hobbs. But, you know, over 850 people cut this record. So
yeah.
that's the thing. Actually, I just looked it up as we speak. It's 929. And the first one dates back to Gertrude Lawrence in 1929, and on and on it goes. And, you know, there are jazz versions, and there are the basic Della Reese's and Pearl Bailey's and Vic Dana's and all that. But
Everybody in the world.
Right.
Who actually wrote it?
Oh, Gershwin. Ira, George and Ira. Yeah, Gershwin, they wrote it. And, you know, it was written, you know, in like 1926, I think. Yeah, so it'll be 100 years old next year as far as that goes. And of the 929 versions, yes, they do list the Becky Hobbs, April 5th, 1977. I'm sorry to say Stephen Eady also did it in 1976. That's painful to even think about. But, yeah, people are still singing it to this day. It's being recorded as we speak.
I think that's great. And I hope I didn't offend you.
Absolutely not. You know, that's what makes it fun. Like I say, we all agree that the best songs take us where we want to go, but we all disagree on what those songs are. And I'm particularly intolerant, you know, personally, when it comes to me. Like, I will not listen to classical music. And in fact, if I hear it, if it's a score of something or whatever, I will just turn it off. I don't want to hear that crap. I hate it. And that's my right to feel that way. But somebody else will just relish it and love it. And that's so fine. But it's just not me. And so I usually either like it or hate it. Very few things I say, oh, I don't know. Oh, did we lose Karen? I think we did. Yeah, well, sorry. Bye, Karen. But yeah, so no, absolutely no offense taken. And there are many people who have much broader tastes than I do, God knows. But yeah, I liked Becky Hobbs. All right, so we'll get to, by the way, when we right after the news, there was a commercial for First American Bank. I don't know if you heard it. And it was so reminiscent of Dick Orkin that I kind of stopped what I was doing because I thought, sadly, Dick's not been with us a while. And he actually did commercials for them years ago, several years ago now, about a decade ago, obviously, while he was still living. And so I just wondered whether that was Dick Orkin Radio Ranch who did that as well. But whoever played the mother-in-law, she was just classic. Yeah, don't normally comment on commercial content, but had to with that one. So good for First American Bank. I think that's who they were. Gotta hope they were. I'd hate to think the commercial was that good and I couldn't remember the sponsor. But yeah, all right. So Karen called back. All right, Karen. Well, no problem. Yeah. And
I don't think I did it.
No.
That's pretty fascinating. How many different arrangements they can make.
Oh, of course. Like I say, 929 known recorded version, and secondhand songs usually doesn't get them all. So I would think we could probably get to 1,000 versions of that. But, you know, like I say, almost 100 years old. It was originally from a musical on stage. I don't like musicals either. But anyway, the musical was okay. O-O-H and then K-A-Y exclamation point. And the character K sung it in about 1925.
Oh, wow. Well, I, you know, I'm with you. I don't like classical either, and I can't deal with it.
Yeah. Okay. I just looked up OK. It actually opened in November of 1926, musical written by George and Ira Gershwin, and based on the play La Presidente, and plotter revolves around the adventures of the Duke of Durham and his sister. So the musical opened on Broadway in 1926. It ran for 256 performances and then opened London's West End in 1927, ran for 213 performances, and all we're left with is someone to watch over me.
Oh, my goodness.
Now you know.
I never would have guessed.
Now you know.
I wasn't even around yet.
Well, it's safe to say that nobody listening to this show was.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, when I say that, it's possible somebody was alive. It's not possible that anyone listening to the show was cognizant in 1926. That part's not possible. So I realize currently that the Social Security Administration would differ, that they have other opinions. But for the rest of us, yeah, no, you're not alive at 150, really.
Yeah, and my father was only 13 years old. I mean, gee whiz.
That's okay. Right, exactly. So he would have been on the very young end of having any idea that OK was a Broadway musical.
Yeah. He just happened to like the song. And when I would be home from school or like all through my life, we would have jam sessions and he would teach me all kinds
That's
of stuff.
That's great. That's a lot of fun.
It was, and the rest of the family, my mother and my sister, would just come in and sit and listen to us, and sometimes we'd get my sister to sing. She was good.
Okay.
And my father sung, and he played piano and organ, and he could play accordion as well.
Fun memories.
And he played with the Musicians Union around our area, and he played trumpet.
Yeah. All right.
So it was fun growing up.
Well, I'm so glad you called, and I hope to talk to you soon.
And you too.
Okay,
thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. All right, now, I want to stop what I'm doing. We've got Eduardo, and we've got Gary, and we've got James, but here's the deal. I don't often see this on the screen. Sam and Gurney says his granddaughter was abducted, so life stops while we find out what the deal is here. All right, Sam, I won't ask how you are because I know you're frantic. Now tell me what you know. Hello?
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
yes, thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah,
now, what do we know? What do we know? When was she abducted and where?
Yesterday.
Oof.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. How old is she?
She's 6 years old.
Where was she the last anybody knew?
Her name is Emery.
And we've talked about her before.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, now, I need you to be strong, and I need you to be really strong, yeah, especially for for Emery's parents as well. So
I'm doing my best.
Yep. So
I'm doing my best.
Yep.
I have had no sleep.
I'm sure you have had
no
sleep
in a week.
All right. What part of Milwaukee and where was she, like, in front of her
District
home?
Five.
What?
District 5.
Uh-huh. Was she in front of her home? Where was she?
In District 5.
Yeah, but I mean,
which I think is,
was she in front of her home? Was she in front of a school? Where was she when she was last seen?
I don't know, because I spoke with the Milwaukee police and the Palmyra police yesterday.
And what'd they say?
And I spoke to a wonderful officer who I appreciate so much. And his name is Paul Blount.
Okay.
And he is working on this with all of his heart and mind.
Okay. All right.
And I am just beside myself.
Of course.
And just wanting to ask that your listeners would pray for her.
Absolutely.
You've done it before.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I thank God for all of you.
No, well, this is, I know these are just horrible, horrible times. Now, has anybody received any calls from whoever abducted her, like a ransom or anything like that?
It's her father. It's a parental abduction.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this is a whole different world, then.
It's a parental abduction.
All right. Well, then it's a whole different world. That's a totally different subject. Do you have reason to believe her father would harm her?
Yes.
Why? Why do you believe that?
Because he has suggested things in the past. And he has, it's so hard because I know we're on a live radio stream.
Yeah, but these people need to know about this if they're going to, you know, I mean, prayers are wonderful.
He was a person that was harmed very much in his youth, and I don't want to go into the specifics of that.
That's fine.
And he has suggested some things. I just want to leave it at that.
Is this a situation where he is upset that he is paying child support?
No, he's not paying any child support. He's been ordered to pay child support, and he has not paid child support.
All right, but
he was ordered to pay child support, and he has not.
I understand.
He has avoided all of his child support.
I understand that. Is he upset with the order? Is this what's behind it? What I'm asking is it financially driven?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I would just say that my daughter has taken excellent care of Emery.
Oh, I'm sure.
Who is my granddaughter.
Right.
And she's been a wonderful mother. And I'm not biased. I'm not just being biased.
I would expect that. But I'm trying to get here to motive. When a parent abducts a child, they do so for a reason. And so that's what I'm looking for.
He has a mental condition. And I'm not, I honestly don't know the specifics of it, but he does have a mental condition, and he has been diagnosed with, I don't even remember what it's called, but he's been diagnosed with a severe mental condition, and so that, I believe that plays into it.
Has he previously been arrested?
He was arrested. There is a warrant out for his arrest right now.
Okay, good. Good. Now that's actually helpful. In a situation like this, and yes, we will all pray for Emery, but in a situation like this, usually, not always, but usually the end result is positive. It's a horrible point until you get there, but very few, it's happened, but very few biological parents kill their children.
Yeah, well, I thank you so much for that. And
yeah, it's just really rare. Yeah. I'm guessing that his mental condition plays into this, and this is, if I had to just take a wild guess, I'd say that this is his way of getting back at his ex-wife, your daughter. And this is his way of making a statement that he's unhappy with how everything's come down. And so I don't think this is a thing where this is a case where he's intent on harming Emery. And I pray to God I'm right about that. But this is pretty good because obviously he's a known person. There's a warrant out for him. He has a past. So authorities have a good idea where to look. It's not like a blind situation where they don't know who took Emery or why. They do know who took her. So I think it will be probably quicker than you know that you'll have her back. But in the meantime, it's horrible for you, and we will keep you in our prayers as well as Emery because you're going through this.
Yeah, and I thank you so very much for that.
Now, what I ask from you, please let us know. Keep us posted because I want to hopefully celebrate the good return of Emery.
Yes, of course I will.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you for calling us, Sam. I appreciate it. Worlds of luck, and
I really think
it'll be fine. You betcha. Okay, thanks.
God bless you.
All right. So, yeah, just bone-crushing, but again, I'm relieved that it's custodial because it's very rare that harm will come to the child. But, man, those hours until you have your child back, whoa, boy. All right, so we'll get to Gary in Austin. We'll get to Eduardo in Tampa, James on the south side, and hopefully you next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Do, 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 do.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Oh, sublime. The Nutmegs, A Love So True. 1957 on Herald. That's the flip of Coming Home, by the way. And it was Jimmy P's last of his six-pack, so hopefully you heard them all and enjoyed them. Now, before we get to Gary and Eduardo and James, when I was looking for Your Mine, which I never did find this while I was doing it live in person, I found this thing. It was a YouTube clip. You know, sometimes I say thank God for YouTube. And it just literally ran chills down my spine because of who is on this. It was a house party in the 90s, so it's very casual. No, you know, no one's dressed up in any way or planning to perform or anything like that. But you know how it is. People get together, they have a house party, they start to sing. When I say doo-wop royalty, it's unbelievable. Arthur Cryer, of course, from The Chimes and The Mellows. Bobby Mansfield, the lead singer of The Wrens, is in this. But what the amazing part is, it is a duet between Lillian Leach of The Mellows and Dean Barlow of The Crickets doing Your Mine. And they had never done it before together. And they had never done it after that together. And like I say, this was the mid-90s. They both died in 2013, I think she in April and he in September. So I think everybody on this is gone now. But the idea of hearing Dean Barlow and Lillian Leach do this together, yeah, I couldn't not share it with you.
Why I love the secret. So you're saying you're
Yeah, I'll let you hear the rest should you be interested, and I won't bore you should you not, but you'll never see anything like that again. Yeah, Lillian Leach and Dean Barlow as a duet doing Your Mind, like I say, with Bobby Mansfield and Arthur Cryer. And if you're saying, well, who's on piano? Actually, a guy who was there, a guy named Hal Kirshner, who was much younger than any of them, and a white guy who just was playing piano for him. And that was it. And it was just a house party in Manhattan in the mid-90s. So, yeah, sometimes I'm glad there is an internet. Other times I'm cursing it to hell and back, but that's one of the ones that I was really delighted to see that. Gary in Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh, you can't live it, and you can't live without it, internet, that is.
It's absolutely true. And, you know, I go back and forth in terms of would I rather be back the way it was beforehand? And a good almost 50% of me says yes, and another 49% or so says, no, I'll take what I get from it. But it is absolutely a love-hate arrangement.
Yeah, exactly. And first of all, my thoughts are Sam is in my thoughts, our thoughts, and
yes.
Hopefully his granddaughter will be returned to her mother soon.
I think there is really good news, because what I did during the news is I looked at the Amber Alerts, and Wisconsin did not issue an Amber Alert, and one of their regulations is if it is in any way a custodial interference, unless they have reason to believe the child is in imminent danger of death, they don't issue one, and they didn't on this. So I have a feeling that they might have a handle on where Dad might be with Emery, and I bet you when we talk to Sam next week, all will be back to the way it should be.
I certainly hope so.
Yes.
I certainly hope so. But I've been thinking, and that, as we know, is dangerous.
Yes.
You were earlier talking to Karen about she was apologizing for liking something you didn't and such. And it's amazing how we get we want people to like what we like. And if, you know, you don't like what we like, we get kind of upset about it. And, you know, people say, well, you know, let's say I liked classical and you didn't, and you say, well, I don't like classical. And I'd say, well, it's your loss. Well, no, it's not, because I don't like it anyway. So why is that a loss at all? And, you know, you hear people say that.
Yeah, well, my answer is must be. You know, that's fine. You know.
I just say, well, you know, it's not a loss to me. I don't like it. I don't care. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, in some ways, music is so personal to those of us who love it, and we have very distinct tastes in terms of what it is, like I say, who takes us where we want to go, and it's unique to all of us. And so I don't really think about, when I listen to things, of it being a shared experience. I do this totally alone. So, you know, I have no desire necessarily to share it.
You know, I like what I like, and people either like it or not. You know, I don't care.
Exactly.
They're not going to hurt my feelings if they don't.
Well, and the thing is, there's so little, in the big scheme of things, there's really so little that we control absolutely in our day-to-day lives. But what we're listening to is one of them. And so, therefore, you know, you don't have to make excuses for it. You don't need explanations for it. This is what I'm going to do, and I'd like it if you just left. You know, it's that simple.
One thing that always amazes me is how much time, especially I've noticed this with radio shows, that people would listen to people they don't like, and they say, oh, I don't like, say, Rush Limbaugh or whoever, but they can tell you everything they did on that whole show. And if I don't like somebody, I'm not going to listen to them.
Well, you know,
I got other things I can do.
Right. That's the real secret of combative talk radio. The reality is a player like Rush, who was absolutely an entertainer when you get right down to it, much more so in his early days. You know, it wasn't what he thought about feminists. It was phrases like feminazi. But the reality is he would make money if they loved him or if they hated him. Now, the kiss of death were the people who kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, yeah, I guess it's okay. Man, now you're dead. You know, you absolutely want to get people to the point where they are emotionally invested in you, and hate is just as good as love.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I hear people say that about Howard Stern, too. I hate Howard Stern, he's indecent and all this, but they're listening every morning for four
right.
or 5 hours, however long he was on. And I got other things to do. If I don't like somebody,
right.
I can
Well, exactly.
I don't really understand why that.
That's why I say that's the danger. You'll just turn off the radio, or I'll turn off the radio. You know, if you're on the air doing any type of controversial show, hating is just as good as loving. It's those of us who say, who cares? We're the kiss of death. So, and of course, Howard Stern, it's so interesting. In his heyday, people thought of him as a shock jock, and there was a group of listeners, who probably did feel that way. But what made him successful was his core felt that, hey, here's somebody talking on the radio who's like me. It was relatable.
Yeah, exactly.
So the people who were just all in a huff and this is so terrible and all that, that was the second level of the show. You know, but the primary level was, hey, finally, some guy like me. And absolutely, and that's relatability. So so the people who just thought, oh, he was the absolute worst thing to happen, that was just icing on the ratings cake.
Sure.
You know, that's fine. It's those of us who said, yeah, it's all right. I don't think I'll just do it again. But we're death. You know, you don't want that response.
Yeah, yeah. But most of his terrestrial radio career, I didn't really live where there were affiliates. Hard to believe. But
yeah, no, that's not hard, not hard to believe, because it was a finite number of affiliates, to say the least. And, you know, it wasn't for the faint of heart, because there were ad agencies, for instance, that wouldn't buy a station that ran Howard Stern, and that would include anything else owned in the market. You had to be ready to take the commercial hit, and no ways to do it. The saddest thing that happened, and this has happened in other situations as well, is that when Howard would be in a market and would start to basically play to the competition, if you will, kind of undermine them, the smart players would just ignore it. Sadly, the others who fell into it were falling into his trap. And the biggest case was Philadelphia, where, without a doubt, John DiBella was the biggest thing in Philadelphia radio. He was on an AOR station, MMR. And here comes Howard on YSP. And Howard picks his target. Of course, it's smart. He knows who's got the numbers and all that. Well, DiBella fell right into it. And, there's no mileage in promoting a competitor who doesn't have ratings as good as yours, you know. And by reacting, that's what you're doing. And you see that so often. The most infamous case probably in the last 30 years was what happened in Tampa with a power pig. The competitor Q105 had been number one in every demographic from 12 to 80. You know, I mean, everything. And so here comes what is essentially a teen radio station who's hacking away at them. And the smart move would have been ignoring they were on the dial. They didn't do that. They basically undid themselves. And so it wasn't that the power pig won. It was that WRBQ lost. And, that's one that to this day, it's amazing to me how people fall victim to it. And all I can figure is it comes down to egos. You know, how dare he say that about me? Who cares?
Yeah, I'd like to think if I were running a radio station, I just keep doing what I'm doing, because that's what brought me there. So
well, that's right.
They can say whatever they want.
That's right. And
I'm going to be around.
When I was in San Diego at KFMB, and I was number one at night, but there was a morning show across town that would make fun of me. And I never said a word about it. I loved it because, of course, you know, hey, you've got some pretty good numbers. And I met one of them. It was a two-person show. Met one of them at a party, and said, I hope you're not offended. And I looked right at him. I said, no, I'm grateful. And so he said, oh, good, you know what we're doing. He said, we listen, you know. I said, no, I'm absolutely grateful. Keep it up, you know. So sure, if somebody with a lot of ratings in the morning is making fun of me at night, hey, this is great, go for it.
They probably have like three or four times the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though my shares were bigger, the way it's done, the actual numbers were tremendous in the morning compared to who listened at night.
Of course.
So, no, I was thrilled, and I could see the relief on this guy's face. He said, well, most people wouldn't get it. I was, I get it. You know, go for it. And that was fine. But the people who undo themselves, I just don't understand how they got so immersed into this to take it seriously.
Just some thoughts on those things.
Yeah.
And,
Absolutely. But yes, the subset of people who love to listen to what they hate, as I say, that's golden for radio, but I'm sure it could keep a team of psychiatrists busy. It's like the individuals who would call Dr. Laura knowing that she was going to beat the hell out of them verbally.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what is wrong with you? You know, but there they are.
I don't eat food I don't like, and I don't listen to radio I hate.
That's exactly right. Life is too short.
That is my life.
That's exactly it.
That's exactly right.
You and me both. All right, well, good to talk to you, Gary.
Great.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Watching lots of TV heroes, and they make me so jealous I could cry. And the one that really fills my heart with envy is the guy that they call the Private Eye. He rides all over in a sports car, chasing after clues and adventure everywhere. He meets more chickies than a Girl Scout leader, and he makes money like a millionaire. Oh, I wish I was the Private Eye. All the dollars love a private eye. They give the kisses to the private eye. When he goes up to their apartment, they're looking for the evidence. It makes me flip when I watch it on the Sunset Strip. He makes a lot of money and he gets a lot of honey. That's why I wanna be a private eye.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is, of course, Bob Loom in 1961 on Warner Brothers. As you can guess, Boudlow and Felice Bryant wrote that. I always liked Bob Loom, and sadly, he's no longer with us. He would have been 88 this week, and born in Black Jack, Texas, and sadly died December 27th, 1978 in Nashville. Just 41 years old, had pneumonia, and he was on Epic when he died, and when I was at Epic, he used to come into my office. He and his wife, who was Canadian, and lovely people. I'd sit there and talk to them for hours, and yes, well, I should have been working, but having a fine time. But the interesting thing is Bob Lumen had been a baseball player. He was a star, and in fact, he tried out for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and didn't make it. So at that point, he said, well, all right, I'll just do what I was doing before, sing with my band. And the rest was history. Maybe we'll play some Bob Lumen again next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Well, I hear that your new romance has faded, just the way ours did some time ago. Why, I've lost count of all the times I've waited for you to tell me that you miss me so. So come on home and sing the blues to Daddy. The things ain't working out the way you planned. Just come on home and sing the blues to Daddy. Tell it all to one who understands. Just like a child who's found a brand new plaything. Each one is more fun than those before. But there's a faithful one who's always waiting to be picked up and kicked around some more.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. More Bob Lumen. Yeah, rest in peace, Bob. Come on home and sing the blues for Daddy. 1969 on Epic. Glenn Sutton produced that, and Epic released that as a promo copy with that on one side, and the other side was a Billy Sherrill production of My Woman's Good to Me by David Houston. And I thought they were just both terrific records, and both of them became reasonable hits, too. So, 888-876-5593. That takes us to Tubby in Chicago. How's it going, Tubby? I know you're there. I can tell. Hello, Tubby. Join us, Tubby. All right. I don't know what happened to Tubby, but she'll call back, I'm sure. So, all right. With that in mind, Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Hey, good news on that two-year that was found by a ranch dog over there in Seligman, Arizona, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, sure.
Pretty neat story, yeah.
Yeah, you betcha. So, absolutely. And for anybody who missed that, that was a toddler spends the night alone in the desert in Seligman, and a rancher's dog is the hero after rescuing the two-year-old boy who wandered 7 miles away from home and spent the night in the desert. Well, the nice thing is this time of year, lovely dog, by the way, he's an Anatolian Pyrenees. He's just a beauty. And I noticed that. And it was Yavapai County, and which is home to Sedona, don't you know, in any event, and other places too. But just south Flagstaff. Well, Grand Canyon.
Oh, Flagstaff, okay.
Yeah, Flagstaff. Yeah, and actually Flagstaff is higher. And the reason I mention that is Flagstaff is at over 7,000 feet, so it gets damn cold at night. But Seligman is not as as cold as that. And this is important because it's a two-year-old in a tank top and pajama pants, 16 hours alone. And he walked through, they verified he'd had at least 2 mountain lion sightings, but must not have been hungry. And then Buford, the Anatolian, rescued him. Yeah, some people see Anatolian shepherds as a danger, but not Buford. All right, so that was, the good feel-good story on the news here and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Did you, I don't think they're doing this here, but I saw this in the Times over here. They said they're training the Amazon drivers in, like, Europe for carry defibrillators. Did you hear about that?
They're training the Amazon drivers to what?
For carrying defibrillators.
Defibrillators?
For...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't think we're doing it here.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They're doing it over there.
How about that? All right.
Yeah. They wanted to try it on the taxis, but that wouldn't work out because they got passengers. But Amazons are by themselves, so that would work out, I guess.
All right. So, yes, Amazon trained prime drivers to use defibrillators. And so, and why? Because Amazon prime drivers can arrive faster than EMS. So how about that? So I'm looking at this, and Project Pulse began in Amsterdam, and this is now a year and a half ago, before expanding to London and Italy, and over 100 contract prime delivery drivers volunteered. They had to take the CPR training, obviously, and they wanted to do that, and so they got the CPR training, and Amazon supplied them with automated external defibrillators manufactured by a Dutch company, Philips, and So, and these particular defibrillators are meant to be used with minimal experience. So, the drivers, after taking the CPR training, are, in fact, savvy enough to do this safely. And so, that's fascinating. I love this. And so,
Might come to the U.S. sometime,
I would think. They say that over 90% of heart attack patients can survive if defibrillation is administered within the first minute of the emergency. Now, of course, even with the Amazon drivers, it won't be the first minute. But 70% of cardiac events take place in private homes, and Amazon gets there faster than anybody else.
Yeah.
So so now I don't think there's been any study. I'd be very curious on the outcomes since they started this but apparently they have, you know, we say, is it coming to America? They, in the Amazon internal papers, they have stocked delivery vehicles across North Seattle. So that's interesting. And so another internal document showed it would cost Amazon less than $17 million to equip 15% of drivers across the more than 1,100 last-mile delivery depots worldwide. So they say that the project ended, you know, because this was a trial. And they've had trials since then. They had one in Paris last year. And so I would not be surprised. Now, of course, they got to crunch the data and find out, okay, so we've trained the guys and gals, they can use it, but is it really making a difference? And I don't know. I don't think they do either, but I bet you they will.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'd be nice to see that over here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the more options, the better, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Well, I got my study going, and Monday I get paid my Amazon car. Remember, I told you about that. So
yeah.
I'm wearing a watch and answering questions on email. And
tell me what kind of, and this is for Amazon.
No, this is just this is through like a university here in Tampa.
Okay, and what are they studying?
Yeah.
What are they trying to find out?
Sleep patterns. Yeah, sleep patterns.
Sleep pattern. Okay, right.
Somewhere.
We did talk about that. All right. So how have you been sleeping?
I've been sleeping well.
So,
yeah.
But you'll
I've
get
been sleeping well.
You'll get to see all the stats when you're done. Yeah.
yeah, they're gonna on Monday when they pick up their stuff. They're gonna draw blood and do a hair sample and pretty basic stuff. And yeah.
I've never known much about those hair samples because so many people dye and bleach their hair that I wonder what they really find out.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's very basic. So,
it's pretty neat.
So I volunteered for that. So,
of course, that's not always where they take the hair sample. So this could be very interesting. All right. Well, good. Good. Well, I can't wait to find out how you officially sleep.
Yeah, I get my 6-7 hours of sleep, so
yeah, well,
I'm doing good.
We'll find out about the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mom's already got a head start because she sleeps earlier than me.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we'll see if you have any apnea events or other things going on. Yeah, it's always good to know.
Yeah, I was in Chicago. I've been doing these different types of studies, so they're kind of fun to do.
Good. Good. Now, are they compensating you at all?
Yeah. So Monday, they pick up the watch, they pick up the computer, and this whole week I've been answering questions. So they call it an AM diary, which is questions about what time I slept, what time I got up.
Okay.
There's a PM diary. I'm wearing the watch. It's water resistant. And yesterday I answered a very long quiz. Well, it wasn't like a quiz, but it was like a bunch of questions. It took me an hour to answer. So,
what's the oddest? Okay, what's the oddest thing they asked you?
Well, they're asking stuff like personality. Like, are you happy? Are you feeling well? Are you caring for somebody? Uh-huh. It's all different questions. And then you answer like most agreeable or disagreeable.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
All right.
Something along those lines, yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds like fun. Like I said, I can't wait to hear the final results.
Yeah. Yeah, so Monday I get complicated on Monday.
Good.
With an Amazon card.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. Well, keep me posted on those results. I want to know.
Have a good weekend, everyone. Right. Happy Easter, everyone.
Yes.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. So, yes, indeed, it is Easter Sunday. All right, Tubby called back, and we'll get to her in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Winding roads seem to mark the time. The love I had, mine, now gone. Will you return? I know you will. Until then, since you've been gone, my dear.
Something's missing, baby. Something's missing. Something's missing, baby.
Something's missing. Well, something's missing from my life. There had been times when we were real close lovers. Sometimes as close, Lord knows, as sisters and brothers. But now you left me, and oh, it hurts me so. I feel misused, abused, confused, and no place to go since you've been gone. Everything's turned out wrong. So I just want to be the first to say I really feel it now, baby. That's me, wishing and hoping that we could get back together someday soon, baby. You got me just about to cry, and Lord knows the reason why. I mean, he and I both know the way I feel about you.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James, and that's Bloodstone, 1975 on London. It was a flip side, actually, and played it because Charles Love from Bloodstone would have turned 80 tomorrow, born in Salina, Kansas. Sadly, died in 2014, Kansas City, Missouri, pneumonia, just 68 years old. And Bloodstone was interesting. Their biggest hit was Natural High, and you probably remember that. They were a wonderful doo-wop band originally, the Sincere's in Kansas City, and then they moved to Las Vegas in the late 60s and started billing themselves as Bloodstone, and nothing happened. They moved to Los Angeles, and then nothing happened. And so, really, it was like that. So they moved to London, and there they became known for kind of a funk sound that blended Jimi Hendrix-style rock music, they called it at the time, with doo-wop and gospel. Okay. And from that, of course, came, I thought, Something Missing, a flip side, which was just wonderful. So, yeah, that's one of the records that I really like. So Jim had been saying, play records for myself from him, and Something's Missing is one of them. So, all right, now, 888-876-5593. Tubby called back. All right, Tubby, good deal. You there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay, Riley, bless you and John. And all of you that do give us this show, man, that's special. We all appreciate you so much. Okay, moving forward, I'm going to go from the bottom of the list. I went to the store today. Guess how much they want for a Snickers bar? $1.75 for the regular size. I was like, y'all getting out of hand.
It is. It is. I tell you what, I was about to say it was $2, so I was pretty close. But $1.75, I'm not surprised. But everything, Tubby, I don't care what it is, everything is a fortune.
Look, no, before all of this new drama,
yeah,
the 7-Eleven, look, I went in last week. I wanted to get my cookies. I like their cookies, right?
Yeah.
7-Eleven. And the man, they had them on sale for $1 package, right?
Right.
But you put your phone number and you get another discount, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I cussed, I'm sorry, but the man told me, then he didn't want to give me my discount. I said, no, you can't advertise the cookies for $1. And then not let me put my regular discount on.
Right.
I'm not double dipping, y'all. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
He didn't want me. Look, I was like, I didn't mind paying the regular price, which was $1.58 for the two cookies, right?
Right.
But y'all put them on the table for $1 for two, okay?
Yeah.
And then you're going to tell me I can't get my discount?
Right.
Oh, man, you know what? I said, y'all really greedy. Y'all just out off the chain. So anyway, what else? Oh, yeah. Then I walked out the door when I was at the cash register. Guess how much they want for the four rolls of toilet paper, the cheap stuff.
Oh.
You won't believe this.
$3.98.
$4.99.
$4.99.
Jeez. Girl, you can't keep up with me. Look, and trust me, everything across the board. Panda Express, I used to do for like, $12. I'm up to 20 if I get the regular. It's like, you know, people just getting, and some people just taking advantage of it and getting out of hand. But guess what? I know who's still on the throne. Okay, now for that man who called in, I hope he resolved it. He's got to stay calm. He can't be helpful unless he's not calm. And we are praying for him.
Yes.
I'm praying for everybody else too. And I want people to know that when y'all call it, whatever you got, that's the Riley James Show. We get encouragement sometimes from just what you're saying when you move ahead. Jim, I hope your butt is listening, because when you do well, we do well, okay?
Yeah.
And we, you know, that encourages me when you're stepping up, okay, my request for the music was made for my sister.
Right.
And I couldn't even, I was so tired, and I couldn't even make it to Lois's thing at the church, but I knew they had a place for her out there, and the children were there, and they sent me their phone number. I mean, I was like, I'm the kind of person, I helped, they were closing on their place to move to the retirement center, and I helped her move out of a three-story house because Grady was in the hospital. They took Grady in a medevac to their retirement place.
Oh, man.
Help pack up them.
Now,
that's
tell me, because this is terrible. This was the one thing I forgot, your Maze record. Which one would you want to hear?
Take care of it for me. Take care of it for me.
Take care of it. Okay. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. And we'll talk after the news right here on WGN Radio. Frankie Beverly and Maze, Love is the Key, 1983 on Capitol. Nothing I could find what Tubby was talking about, but I thought, well, there's some Maze by then. Now, earlier, yeah, Frankie Beverly and the Butlers with I Wanna Feel I'm Wanted and Because of My Heart and all that. But Love is the Key was nice, too. So, all right, back to Tubby.
Okay, I'm right here. You there?
Yeah, I am here.
Thank you, and thank you for, girl, you know, sometimes... That's what made me start with your show. Like, you would come out of nowhere. There is so much music, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I have a knack time to really, because I was playing that What You Call It song that I was telling you about in a little minute. And then they had another song that was right behind it. It was called The Song of Her.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, that's really, that is deep. But I will say this. I always come up with new stuff. I want you to know, Stevie Wonder, Gillespie, and all these other jazz guys, their whole mission was about the love thing. I met a lot of jazz artists, and it was deep because they really were. Trust me, at the end of the day, the equation was the love thing. Now, I got to tell you something funny. You ain't going I got to tell you this. No, I'm going to tell you about the guy first. I want him to know that I pray in my prayers every day. I've been doing this for years. I could never get to the fact that people have lost loved ones that have never come home.
Yeah.
And I know there is no way to fill that void, not knowing what happened to them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No clue. So I've been praying for those people, and then I added on, every day for people who are just lost in their minds because they put all their investment or whatever in building a home. And yes, it's just like when you have nothing material to come to, what is left? But the fact that you just, the level of functioning and the level of, you know, like my good friend that took me out to dinner yesterday on Monday, they were on a farm. I said, well, we're going to eat here. She said, well, we got to feed the animals first. She loaded milk in the cow.
That's great.
I just put on a haystack, right?
Yeah.
But people are careful. Okay, now here's a funny story. I'm listening to Monday Night, and I never call this. I'm like, I don't know nothing. I'm listening. I didn't have the volume on. Guess what was on TV when y'all came up with that yellow tennis ball?
Don't tell me a tennis match.
A Wimbledon tennis.
Oh my God! Now there you go. How about that?
No, I'm like, man, that's too deep. I said, wait till I tell Rowdy that one, okay?
Yeah, boy, I tell you what. If I knew that, I would have changed the question.
I know what, but I didn't zoom in on it. So, what we got over here? We did a maze. Okay, now we're gonna back up now real quick. I found a tape with jazz on it.
Yeah.
It's narrated. Remember Norman Granz and Nat Hentoff?
Sure.
What was their job? What was their job? They were promoters or?
Well, you know, Norman Granz and people who don't know, it's G-R-A-N-Z, they called him a jazz impresario. That was the way it was. But he did a number of things, and he never, ever contributed a note to jazz. So all of his things were more business and promotion. You know,
okay.
like jazz at the Philharmonic in the 40s and things like that. There were a lot of things. And the other thing is, in the 40s and the 50s, as you will well remember, some of it anyway, the audiences were racially segregated, and that did not sit well with Granz. And he got it written into every contract he did, and in the travel arrangements, and in the accommodations, that there was absolutely no segregation. And this guy canceled dates when the conditions weren't met. The bottom line is, you don't play anything with me on this. He stuck to his principles, even if it meant closing out a gig. And he was also involved in movies, Jam and the Blues, which he was Lester Young and Harry Edison and a bunch of people like that. So a lot of people probably wouldn't have even known about jazz without Granz's promotion. And so he was the real deal. And he also is the one who got David Stone Martin, who was a graphic artist. And Granz didn't discover him, but he knew that he was really good. And he got this guy to do all sorts of album covers in the 40s that are just classic album covers and label art and stuff like that. So he was the real deal, but never a musician.
Right. That's why I said I wondered when his song. You know, like what do they call them, linear notes when they write about the album?
Liner notes, yeah, but a lot more than liner notes. He got together all those Ella Fitzgerald songbook albums, and then there were 27 albums he did with Art Tatum. And it was interesting because I think Art Tatum sued him to get the rights back. I don't know how that worked out. But he was absolutely the real deal. He loved the music. He loved the musicians. And he was willing to absolutely give up money in order to make sure that things were right.
Exactly. And I knew you would elaborate on that for me. And you added some things that was not said. On the, and that was a Wichita. That was the one that I watched on the tape. Is that guy that did the Civil War? What's that guy's name from PBS? He did the Civil War and the.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know who you mean. But now it's interesting because Oscar Peterson once asked Granz to name his idol. And Oscar Peterson said Art Tatum, and Granz said no. Roy Eldridge. He embodies what jazz is all about. He's a musician for whom it's far more important to dare to achieve a particular peak, even if he falls on his ass in the process. And he said, that's what jazz is all about. So, yeah, Roy Eldridge was the guy that he thought was his idol. You betcha. Not Art Tatum.
Okay, I got one quick question. I'm on hold because I couldn't think of his name. Have you heard of Barney Faith?
Of who?
He had a radio. And see, this has got a time frame on that. I'm sorry, I
didn't get the name. Who?
Marty Faith.
Oh, of course, absolutely. And you know, now you're talking Chicago all the way around. Yeah, we've absolutely talked about him. He was in his day the loudmouth of Chicago broadcasting, but he died at least 30 years ago. He lived in North Miami Beach, and I remember very well. And he was on WBEE 1570 Harvey, but he was on a lot of other places as well. So sure, Marty Faye, absolutely. That's F-A-Y-E for people who don't remember.
Well, what kind of show did he have?
Well, he did jazz on BEE, but he also in the 70s he had this TV show on one of the UHF channels, and it was just. I don't know what to say. He was right out of the South Side, but he loved the South Side. He loved jazz. He loved people calling in. And I think that he was on BEE for like three decades, AM 1570. He absolutely, and he did a lot of commercials and, all that kind of stuff. He was on WAAF, and he was just quite the character, to say the least.
What years were those?
Oh,
I know before my time.
Right. No. Well. Not only. I mean, again, I'd say his real decade was the 50s more than anything else.
Thank you. So you know his sister then, right?
Well, I know.
Frances Faye.
Right. Absolutely. And we've talked about her as well. Frances Faye, I think, wrote a biography on Marty, and there was another brother too, and I'm trying to think of what his name was, but I think a lot of the stuff that Frances Faye did is online now. You can probably read it.
Okay, cool. Well, I met Frances Faye. They put me in charge of taking care of Frances Faye when Four Torches remodeled and opened up as a supper club. Oh, here's a funny story. They had them, and then I'm going to get off the phone. They had the people lined up at the bar, and the guy, his name sounded Irish. He was Japanese. And so Frances Faye was the first person, and it was real intimate. They had the piano and combo and the bar, and it was done right. It's on Rush Street, right? I know, that was Billy's on Rush, but at the Four Torches, back over there where the Playboy Club took over at Armitage and Clark. Okay, anyway, they came afterwards, but that's where we fed Frank for 2 weeks when he was in town and everything. So Frances Faye, we're up in the dressing room, and I brought her some things from the, culinary things, food and whatnot. And she said, Tubby, how about this? And I mean, she had the accent of the century, okay? Yeah. And she would say, "Oh, Tubby, how about this? If there's a cure for this, I don't want it. Right. I don't want it." And when she hit that piano, remember I tell you how these artists would hit the piano when they really wanted to do their thing?
Yeah.
Girl, she went downstairs and got on that piano. He lit the place up. But Tommy O'Leary was the guy who was like a maitre d', and they were having four juice at the bar. And that's when your liquor covered your food.
Right.
For your house, your bills, right? And look, Tommy O'Leary, he was passing out liquor that night. They had him four deep waiting at the bar to get in. I love it. Okay.
Well, yeah. By the way, Frances Faye was a little older. She was born like in the early 1900s. And, they were related to Danny Kaye. And their last name had been Cohen. And she wound up doing stuff in the 30s that were amazing because she became famous for all these double entendres at a time when other people were like, what? And, she would hint at maybe being bisexual, and she'd alter pronouns in the love songs and things like that. And we're talking, like I say, the 30s. So it was a very interesting life.
Oh, she had pictures of her girl by the pool with the blonde hair.
You betcha. And it was interesting. She was arrested in 1955, narcotics. But, of course, it was, nothing but marijuana. But at the same time, she made a lot of headlines. That's for sure. And her younger brother was Marty.
Yeah, she was she was quite the person to meet and to take care of.
Yeah, that's great.
But look, Riley, we thank you. We'll catch up with Miami-Dade and Southern California another day. But God bless you. And oh, shout out. Okay, I got it. Jim and James and Johnny D and James.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. All right, so we'll pick it up right here in moments, and hopefully we will get to everybody. And it is sadly, I'm thrilled, but it's interesting how, again, the show is about to end and everybody calls. But we're going to see if we can get through everybody with Hit and Get. We won't even play a bumper. Coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We got about 5 minutes, got about four people, so let's do it quickly. Jim back in Richmond, welcome back.
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you that I switched my phone over to voicemail. I mean, to, you know, what you said I should
great.
Have.
Great. And now, practice
and,
with it.
And then, no, right now, before I did that, right now, I can right click on my phone and it'll tell me what time it is. And then the last app that I have is my Libre app. And I click on that, and it will tell me what my blood sugar is. So I do that all night and all day.
Okay.
I click.
All right.
And
we got to talk in depth about it later, because like I say, I got five people, 5 minutes. So that's great. Keep practicing. Can't wait to hear next week how it's going.
Right.
All right.
But I went to, wait a minute. But when I went to
you gotta
the
hurry.
Voiceover.
You got to hurry.
I clicked on the voiceover, and they, you know, I click on the phone, right click, and it tells me the time, and then I have to tell them.
Jim, I gotta go.
I want to.
I know. I gotta go. We gotta talk about it next week. Thanks. All right, because time is running out, and I'm gonna lose everybody, and I don't want to do that. Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio. Have we lost Cindy? Oh, that would have given Jim another minute. All right. So, Chris in Greenwood's going to tell us about that CBS promo and how you got it. So, how'd they find you? How did you find them? Where was it?
Where was it? You can go to sayhicbs.com and make your video. I also got a fan club going on, and someone in front of me said, "Is that you on TV?" And they were shocked.
Yeah.
And they wanted my audience. And I just gave an autograph, and I'm just blown up seeing everybody that saw me on CBS.
Oh yeah,
no matter what affiliate. And I bet y'all was on WBBM.
Well, you were on every CBS station because it was a network liner. So sure. And for people who missed it again, let's hear Wait. Chris in action. Here we go.
CBS. I'm Chris from Greenwood, South Carolina. Keep that eyeball watching.
All right, I'm Chris from Greenwood, South Carolina. Keep that eyeball watching. There you go. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, because I was seeing before the price was right, let's make a deal. And
all right.
Papa's house, that lot.
Well, that's wonderful. I had no idea that was an opportunity, but yeah, I'm sure they're going to run it again. You look good on it. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Talk to you later. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. What am I giving the phone number? Is there's a minute left. All right, and I think that Cindy had called back, but now we've lost Cindy. So let's see what we can do with James on the south side. All right, James, how's it going?
Fine. How are you doing? Because I know you were coughing.
Oh, I'm always coughing. Always coughing. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I should keep the mic closed.
I will give only one story, but you already played one of the stories. That was one that you kind of tossed off, and you must have seen it again. And the other guy who called in talked about it already, about the child scene. But
right.
I was just mentioning about the maid who was stealing a high-end jewelry.
Oh, man.
$20,000.
Yep. Yeah, those are in your previous stories, so they went away. I don't have any of those anymore. But, yeah, we talked about, you talked about in the stories, the gym employee who died and the client in critical condition, the cryotherapy session. Oh, my God, they froze themselves to death. Nitrogen kills. And the decapitated.
The mom of two.
Yeah, plastic surgery botch, which was really horrible. And this was an unlicensed doctor. And you hear about these stories from time to time, and it really makes you wonder, just like the cryotherapy story, what are people willing to do to their bodies? All right, so on that note, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, happy Easter.
You too, and happy Easter to everybody. And apologies for those we didn't get to, and apologies for those who got short shrift. But there's nothing I can do about the time other than to say that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do, and I'm looking forward to talking to you live on Monday Night Trivia coming up on WGN Radio.